Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a barnacle by the toe. Hello and welcome to the Sound Show. It is April 16th. It is 9 o'clock in the morning, California time. That's my fuzz tone. Oh, I took a day off of coffee yesterday, and it was really nice. I slept a lot of the day, and I slept all last night, too, so I feel really good this morning. Not only that, but I meditated this morning, only for about 20 minutes. I normally do half an hour, but I did 20 minutes. Let's see, what else did I do? Well, my other adventure yesterday was I got this weird new kind of cheese. I went downtown to the little boutique-y, little boutique-y area of Placerville, like the main street kind of shopping area. And they have a cheese store, like a specialty cheese store. And I was worried I wasn't going to be able to remember the name, but I did. It's Mimolette cheese. I bought a little tiny wedge of cheese. It was like $10. It was ridiculously priced. You can get a full block of it. Like, it's probably like a 5 pound. It's shaped kind of like a, I don't know, there's probably a geometric name for this shape, but like a cylinder with like rounded edges. I don't know. And it's probably like 5 pounds. And that's about $150 if you get it online. But I bought this little tiny wedge of Mimolette, and it's a French cheese, and it's aged 18 months, and there's some funny thing that they do to it to make it orange. It's some coloring. But what makes this cheese unique is it has live cheese mites residing on it. And I looked up these cheese mites, and they're arachnids. They're in the same family as ticks and spiders. So, and there's an article on Wikipedia on arachnids as food. And it's like, you know, kind of a semi-normal thing. Like in Thailand, they serve fried spiders. The fried scorpions they serve in China. I mean, not everywhere. But, you know. So I devoured this Mimolette. It was delicious. It was almost like, I was like candy. It was so good. Like, it's just the perfect texture. It's like got this kind of really savory, rich sweetness to it. And at the same time, this kind of rich, musky, hidden, haunted flavor. I think I look on cheeses the way many look on wines. Anyway, so I was very happy with my Mimolette cheese. And I think I'm going to go back to this cheese shop and maybe like get more interesting cheeses. It made up for the mediocre lunch that I had that day. I went to this place and I got like the number one, their signature sandwich. And then I got something that sounded like it should be really good. Macaroni and cheese, bacon macaroni and cheese, but it was incredibly watery. I think it was just out of the box, you know, Kraft macaroni and cheese. And then on top, there were just a bunch of broken up little, very thin pieces of bacon. Like, they're just, it's just like, oh, that's like the worst possible interpretation of bacon, macaroni, and cheese. But, and then the sandwich, it was, the shop was supposed to specialize in, like, big, melty, awesome sandwiches. But it was just like, and I got the sourdough bread, but it was just like white bread, like Wonder Bread. I mean, it wasn't Wonder Bread, but it was kind of Wonder Bread-like. And it just had a cold chicken salad and, like, a bunch of lettuce. It's just like, this is, I'm paying for this? Come on, man. So, but the Mimolette helped compensate for my mediocre lunch. Anyway, that was yesterday, and that was my main activity. That plus sleeping, so it was a good day. No caffeine. I'm sipping some coffee right now. In fact, I'm gonna take another sip. Which reminds me, I talked to Tobe briefly last night for the first time in a long time. I spoke to him in an on radio room, and he asked me if I wanted to participate in the synth battle, and I said no, thank you. And he went dope. Dead air. Anyway, so maybe I thought what I would do is fire up the drum machine. It's a little loud, eh? All right. I'm compensating for not participating in the synth battle last night. What I really like about the fuzz tone is you can get some very interesting effects with the distortion and with the different intervals. Well, there. Something I've been meaning to do is try out fingerstyle with this electric. Oh, my headphones are doing funny things. Bear with me, sir. Oh, they weren't plugged in tightly enough. That happens. I think my super awesome pair of Bose headphones that I got years ago, they kind of stopped working or something. I gotta test them with another device to see if it's like maybe something to do with this slight incompatibility with like this plug. But they don't seem to work with a Focusrite. I have some kind of bad headphones. They sound very tinny and very hollow. I don't know. But buying headphones online is a little bit like buying guitars online. I think it's just kind of a stupid thing to do. Because it's like, really, it's better to try out your headphones. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go to Best Buy or something. But I don't think they may be. But, you know, I'm uncomfortable with the whole, you know, audiophilism thing, like you got to have the best of everything. Like, I don't know, if it works, it produces a sound. Like I was saying the other day, the problem of aesthetics is a twofold problem. First of all, can you be sure that this is the easy problem of aesthetics is to determine what the difference is between two things. Can you distinguish from A and B? So usually the answer is yes, you can distinguish, unless, you know, you get really, really subtle. And then the second problem is thing A or thing B better? But I think with audio, there's some objectivity there because of like fidelity, high fidelity in the sounds. Like you can kind of numerically, mathematically, whatever, analyze that and say which sound is more desirable or which one you want in terms of fidelity. But then there's like the question, do you want higher fidelity? And I don't know. I think that lo-fi can be its own aesthetic. But anyway, I'm going to try switching patches. I guess this patch will do. So tangled up. Oh, I did a horrible thing the other day. I bumped my tremolo arm on the desk. I like squashed it against the desk. I'm very nervous about this tremolo arm. I never had one before. And I wonder, I mean, I assume they make them pretty tough. Those are pretty tough springs in there. And I've been very impressed with how well the strings stay in tune in spite of wanging on the whammy bar. I don't wang on it that hard. Like, I always just fantasize, like, if somebody ever asks to play my guitar, I say, sure, just take it easy on the whammy bar, man. But I'm attempting to play with my fingers here. Thank you. I should probably have the level meter visible. There. Huh. It's not sticking to the screen. Oh, I think these little, for some reason, the plugin windows for Logic Pro overwhelm the level meter. Like they cover it up. The regular windows don't, but these guys, oh, because they're like, they're the same kind of window, like they're the same kind of OS X GUI programming object. Like they're these little sub windows that float on top of a program. They're somehow the same thing, like the level meter and then the virtual instruments. The level meter in Audio Hijack and the virtual instruments in Logic Pro are the same kind of object. You know, I used to play exclusively fingerstyle on an electric guitar. It's feeling very awkward now, but that's all I used to do, so I'm kind of glad to have my pick. But that just sounds better to my ear, like with a pick. It sounds very thin and kind of shitty. Like, I can't get enough pressure onto the strings. Like, with a pick, you can really slam the string if you want to. It's easier to control how much. I don't know. I think that I may be a pick convert for a steel string electric. So I may not want to go back to fingers with an electric. I thought for a while I was thinking I just need to wait till my fingernails grow back. Like I had a really bad break. I'll just wait till they grow back and then I'll resume fingerstyle playing, but with this electric guitar. But now I'm not so sure. Different experience when you have your earphones turned up. I don't quite want to talk so loud. Okay, got my eye on the level meter. One thing I would like to try one of these days is playing a little bit louder. Like this amp is actually, it sounded really, really soft, and I've just got the gain turned up high enough on my Focusrite, and I've got the mic close enough to my amp grill. Face, whatever you call it, screen, mesh, speaker cone, so that it doesn't need to be very loud for to be an appropriate level. But yeah, I've got the gain turned up all the way on the guitar. So I wonder, like, if the sound would be very different. Like, I think that wisdom is that you really need to have things loud for amps to sound right. So it like, and this amp is designed to be loud. It's actually right in the name. It's called a Fishman Loud Box. But I don't like really loud things. I got the wrong amp, to be honest. I got an amp designed for performance, and I don't perform. I mean, I do kind of on the sound show, but what I need is a little bedroom amp. An amp for recording, just like a 10 watt or 20 watt or something like that. Oops. see what's going on in the world today. I kind of broke my resolve. I check the news occasionally now, and I just maybe skip the Ukraine stuff. What more can you say about that? I was talking to Eamon W. The other day about Ireland and Ireland's kind of position. It's kind of a, you know, being dominated by the English for so many years. And he was saying like that the Ukrainians are making us look like pussies now. So that was interesting. So I guess there's a lot of solidarity with the Ukrainians. It's like the underdog thing. You know, people want to root for the underdog. But Tucker Carlson, you know, the famous right winger, said that he's rooting for Russia. So that kind of casts him as, well, at least my idea of what a right winger is. Like, you're on the side of power. You want to crush the weak. You're on, like, if you, there's two people competing, you're going to pick the one that's likely to win. I don't know. Maybe that's not accurate, but I think that a lot of people have this kind of, like, almost like a left-wing impulse where they want the underdog to win. Like, the party that's weaker, they want to be surprised, and they want, and it's almost, that goes to, you see that in a lot of, I guess there's a certain idea of martial arts that, like, the magic button approach, where you learn a technique or learn a series of techniques, or you learn a system of techniques, and that will enable you to win, to beat a physically superior opponent. That's always been kind of the mythos behind martial arts. And it is somewhat true, but you hit a wall with that pretty quickly. Like, and I've always wondered exactly where that point is. Like, let's say there's somebody who's a 200-pound, you know, football player, very athletic, but doesn't know anything about martial arts. And then let's say that he trains for a week and learns some basic stuff. Then you put him against somebody who's 100 pounds, and has been training their whole life. Like, who's going to win in that case? Like, so where do you draw that line between innate athletic ability, physical attributes, like to size and strength and endurance? You know, that's a big thing with fighting, isn't it, that people often forget about, and kind of the magic buttoners in martial arts forget about, is endurance, getting tired, getting winded. Like, that's gonna be a big factor. I could even turn my amp up a little bit. It's a little bit. Maybe be quiet here. Yeah, that should be a little louder, I think. I'll probably listen to this archive and like, oh my god, my amp should have been louder. Okay, so bird mixer. Ooh, not too much louder, but. Ooh, that's maybe too loud. I have the wrong amp. I think I need to sell this or put it in a closet or something and go amp shopping at Guitar Centre. And see, and I turned up too loud again. And it's hard to get it. Like, if you, I'm looking at my master volume knob, and it's on less than a quarter of the way, and I've just got to nudge it. I almost can't move it in a small enough increment physically, like, for it to be effectively tuned. Hold on one more second. I think that'll have to do. Anyway, let's look at the headlines. So I was talking about Russia, Ukraine, whatever, underdog. left wing, right wing, martial arts. Okay, so here's CNN. You know how we feel about CNN. They're talking about rotting fruit, spoiled vegetables, how Texas just made the supply chain even worse. So right away, my little political brain thinks, okay, Texas, bunch of right-wingers. CNN, bunch of left-wingers. So they're going to say, they're blaming Texas. They're saying the right-wingers are to blame. The red side is to, I think CNN's, it's funny because I think CNN uses red as their main color. CNN.com. Yeah. And yeah, well, actually I have my, red is one of their main colors. I've got a dark mode going on my browser, so I don't see exactly, but yeah. Yeah, it's mainly red, black, and white, which is, of course, the Nazi colors. Oh, red, black, and white. Those are our cars, red, black, and white. My housemate wanted to get a blue car, but they didn't have any. And I think they were using that to leverage, try to get a better price, squeeze more money out of him, but he wouldn't fall for it. So the result is we have red, white, and black cars. And those are the Nazi colors. And the only other flag, the contemporary flag that uses red, black, and white is Yemen. So I think people are aware that I don't know, maybe I'd like to look at maybe the flags pre-1930 and see if any flags then had red, black, and white. But certainly, but now the only one is Yemen. And there's some historical flags, some local area flags. But in terms of countries, yeah, that's it. So we're Nazis, man. Young Americans have turned on... Oh, this is a CNN article. Young Americans have turned on President Biden. Well, shit. It's bright. I turned off my dark mode. No, I can't. Ah, it's much better. Boy, dark mode is indispensable. Once you get used to it, you wonder how you ever could have survived without dark mode on your browser. And I guess that's a wisdom that the hardcore Unixers have known for a long time, because they have their black terminals with the green text. I use a dark gray with white text on my terminal, but, you know. That's how it goes. Okay, it's 9:28, halfway point. Got to regroup here. Should we attempt to do some more real DJing? Maybe so. Maybe I'll do it a little less weirdly. Okay, so let's see if we can change these settings on this ring mod to something a little bit more normal. And we'll use the library because we're lazy pieces of shit. Let's see. What is this? This is the... Oh, wrong, is that the right track? No, wrong track. Okay, drum... Ring shift. So, you don't want crazy LFO. That's not what we want. Try Groove Shadow and see how this sounds. Slow it down. Try changing the drummer. Let's try changing it to something like to a totally different style. Let's do something hip. R&B is hip. Mm-hmm. you know what it did? It deleted my ring shifter. Man, why you gotta do that to me? Why you gotta do things? Modulation, ring shifter, a stereo. Here we go. Gotta have a ring shifter. Groove shadows. Well, I can see why they like. I was for a long time. I was using the ring shifter like on the guitar, but I think it's kind of intended for drums. And then the main dial is a frequency. This is kind of not making rhythmic sense, in my opinion. There. You get that burbling neck pickup. Oops. Effects on this patch. Let's see, even the name Deep CS Chorus. No, Deep CS Stereo Chorus. I don't know what CS stands for. Cascading style. Thank you. know what I like about electric, steel string electric with eights? Is that it's literally easier to play. You just don't have to do as much with your fingers. So you know that, you know, like fellow guitar players, that when you get nervous and kind of uncomfortable and suddenly the guitar seems difficult to play and just like you're tensing up in your hand, I think it's easier to get over that with like very easy to play. Because it's just so easy to realize that you literally have to put in no effort physically. And it's all in your head. Like, performance can be very frustrating, because I think almost everyone's had this experience who plays an instrument. Like, you can be in your room, and you just feel like you're having these brilliant moments of playing. It's like, oh man, why can't I do this when people are in front of me? But that somebody sitting there does something, like, almost like kind of magical to your playing. And I have this theory that there are people in this world where that actually improves their playing. Where somebody's, where a humanzee staring at them improves their playing. And those people are the megastars, man. But I don't think there's really a way to get over, I guess you call it performance anxiety. Humanity anxiety. It's a kind of social anxiety, basically. It's disquiet produced by the presence of another hairless ape making ape faces at you. Maybe we're sick of all this delay, huh? Here's the wall of fuzz tone again. Don't need a wall. NY lead. Is that New York? A New York lead modulate? It's got some funky chorus in there or something. Producing some kind of atonal, out of tune type effects. Looking for a nice. Okay, I can do tight crunch. Tight crunch, I think, is not overly distorted. So that's just like a nice, normal kind of a twin, like an amp, a twin, Fender twin sound. It's got that, I think it's a rather characteristic sound, the Boss chorus. This is a Boss effect. This is a Boss pedal, so all the choruses are going to be Boss chorus. And we could turn it off if we were to reach down and press the little tiny button on the first effects button. So I'll just live with this. Either that, or I'll just quit playing guitar for now. I've only got 20 minutes left, and I think I'll turn down the volume on the guitar. That doesn't help. That doesn't help. What I can do is I can go, I'm going to do everything from my chair here, so I don't have to do any reaching. I'll just turn off my second mic. Boop. Oh, that's so much nicer. No more amp hum. I'll keep the guitar strapped to me. Let me see what is picked up. It's hard for me to know what you guys are hearing with that because I've got some amp sound going through the air. I mean, the amp volume is low, but it's not zero, so. But the level meter is showing that to be a very, very tiny little noise. So maybe like not even a quarter of the way up when I strum. The voice is pretty much perfect. But there's something nice about not having your damn guitar so loud. Kind of makes you want to play more. But you can't really hear it, I don't think. It'll be interesting to check the... Anyway, Biden's income is $600,000. Kamala Harris and husband make $1.65 million. So this is the tax returns. Okay, this, but the White House has released Biden's tax returns. I mean, yeah. I think the president's salary, I seem to remember, is $400,000. So I guess he made $200,000 from, you know, investments or whatever. That sounds like a nice normal number. I mean, it's a lot of money. $600,000. What if everybody in the United States made $600,000 a year? Can you imagine that? So nobody likes, is it Kamala? I think it's Kamala. That's right. Kamala Harris. I don't think anybody likes her. But maybe I'm just watching the wrong channels. I don't know. But the impression that I get is that she is hard to work with and she's kind of grumpy. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, yeah, I don't know. I sometimes I feel like I should just STFU about things like this because I really don't know. You know that old Will Rogers joke. And I don't know, because it was a joke back then. All I know is what I read in the papers. And I guess that's supposed to be like maybe media saturation and media consciousness was kind of new when Will Rogers was around. I'm going to say 1920. I'm just going to throw that number out there. So then that joke kind of was like, oh, yes, that's how things are now. Ha, ha, ha. Now it's kind of like, duh. I mean, of course. Actually, it was even Dave Barry, you know, the humor writer. I used to be really into Dave Barry. I think a lot of kids are. Like, he's one of those writers, like, he's supposed to be for adults, but I think a lot of kids like him. So yeah, he even made fun of that Will Rogers joke. Like, ha, ha, isn't that a great joke or whatever, like, sarcastically. I mean, he phrased it in a funnier way than that, but yeah, so yeah, all I know is what I read in the papers, and it's true. Like, you know, you look out the window and you see, well, I see a lot of moisture. Oh, that reminds me. I think I said a couple of weeks ago, we were done with rain for the year in our poor drought stricken, fire and smoke choked death state of California. But we got an unexpected surprise week-long rain event. It's been raining continuously for like days and days now. And it's I look at the weather forecast and it's expected to continue. So it's kind of a blessing from the Lord. That's very nice. I'm sure that our snowpack is going to be still come out to be below average, but every little bit helps and this will bump it up a bit, quite a bit, I think. So it's actually very nice to have it actually look wet outside the way it's supposed to. It's funny how the awareness of drought and the awareness of the need of rain kind of colors, at least in my case, it kind of colors my perception and my enjoyment or non-enjoyment of the rain. Like, you know, I guess I'm like most people, I prefer it sunny. I want outside. But it's like when you're not getting any rain, it's like, oh gosh, you really start to appreciate the aesthetics of the rain more. And I mean, you go out on the balcony and watch the rain. It's nice. I mean, I still wouldn't want to drive in it. That's where I draw the line. But I think I wouldn't mind like putting on my boots and putting taking an umbrella and going for a walk in the rain. I think that'd be kind of nice. So maybe I'll do that. Oh yeah, I turned off my guitar. I guess you can turn it back on again. Ooh, now I hear the accursed amp hum. That's the note. That's a B. So maybe a B chord is what I should play. I wonder if people do that. They see what pitch the amp hum is, and that's like somehow affects like what their home key is. Decision. This is art music. A lone rectangle. I'm so bad at lyrics. I can't do them. When I try to do, like, I think, okay, I should be doing something Kurt Cobain-y, some kind of poetic, you know, lyrics that don't really make any sense, and they just sound stupid, like, you know, something that somebody who was trying to do that would come up with. And then the other alternative is like, baby, baby, I love you, you know, the love lyrics. It's funny how so many songs are love songs or sex songs. Desire songs. They don't make that distinction because they're radical anti-Spurgs. So they're artists. So they don't sit around analyzing like, you know, how is sex distinct from love? Such a thing is that's sort of an anti-Buddhist. That's distinguishing this from that. That's an insufficiently postmodernistic worldview. I suck. All right. Turn this off again. Fuck the guitar. Okay. More than a dozen families displaced by a 7-alarm blaze in Lawrence, Massachusetts. You know, our plumber died. It's kind of horrifying. His house caught on fire and he burned to death. Or maybe he died of smoke inhalation. That's like kind of the nice thing that I like to assume when people, you hear they die in a fire, is that it wasn't as torturous as like being burned alive could be. I like to imagine they die of smoke inhalation and it was whatever peaceful, maybe not quite as bad. But yeah, that was kind of a shocking thing. So now we have his brother as our plumber. And I sent him a text. I was so sorry to hear about your brother. And he was like, oh, thank you very much. But yeah, that's really... Imagine dying in a house fire. I don't know. And that's kind of struck close to home because, you know, fire is a big concern where I live. You know, being that we got evacuated last August. So it just every single year, I wonder, okay, first of all, will the smoke be so terrible that it's going to shorten our lives? And then will we get evacuated? And then on top of that, will the house burn down? And on top of that, will we die in a fire? It's kind of like not that many people do die, even in the catastrophic fire events like Paradise. Or there was another one, I think, close to L.A. Not too long ago, where it's like the Diablo winds are whipping the fire into a frenzy. And it's like this curtain of flame descends upon you at the speed of wind. And like even in those cases, not that many people die. You would expect more to, but I don't know. So, yeah. Silent guitar. Anyway, so this is a 7-alarm. What I don't know what the alarm system is for fires, like a 1-alarm, 2-alarm, 3-alarm, or if that's a universal. Then the second headline on this event is fire spreads to 5 homes in Lawrence, 16 families displaced. Well, that sucks. Where even is Lawrence? Probably a suburb of Boston, I would assume, just because I like to assume things. I'm going to look it up, though. Now I can't remember how to spell Lawrence. Lawrence, Mass. Yeah, it's a do the W, not a U. Yeah, it looks pretty Boston-y to me. Not terribly Boston-y. It's actually kind of near the border of New Hampshire. So it's kind of Boston-y, but not terribly Boston-y. Like Massachusetts, it's a pretty small state. It's in eastern Massachusetts, on the northern border of Massachusetts, close to New Hampshire. So kind of maybe if you were from there, you'd say you live near Boston, but you'd be kind of fudging it if you said that. Well, I don't know. See driving directions. This is really boring. Okay, Lawrence, too. I'll do the Boston Town Center to Boston. A 35-minute drive. Yeah, that's about, I would have, like, if you live where I used to live in Maryland in Gaithersburg, that's kind of almost unacceptable. We're like right on the border of where you would stop saying, I'm from near D.C., like a 35-minute drive away. But then later on, it's like you get this anti-D.C. I got kind of an anti-D.C. feeling, and I was just like, yeah, well, I'm from central Maryland. But, well, yeah, when we first moved to Gaithersburg a long time ago, I very much felt kind of an attachment to D.C. Like, we go down there a lot, take the metro down to D.C., go to museums and stuff. And then in high school, it was mostly my ex-girlfriend who wanted to be cool. And I'm blaming this all on her because she's not here to defend herself. But maybe it was somewhat, I think it was somewhat me too, but she really took the lead there in a lot of things. So I would just kind of, just going along for the ride. But she wanted to be cool. So she wanted to go to DC and go to shows and be like a cool urban hip youth. So that was the other thing. They just drive to DC a lot. And the amount of things that I put up with when I was younger just amazes me. Like, I wouldn't do that now. I wouldn't drive somewhere just to hang out there and feel cool. I don't know. Maybe that's normal. And as you get older, you realize that you just kind of want to sit around in your room and be on your computer staring at a screen and broadcast your show to millions of people, billions of people, trillions. I remember Handy C once said that the sound show was a big hit on Arcturus or something like that. And I was like, wow, I think I was stoned at the time. And there was some part of me that like believed him or was imagining that to be true. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. What if a bunch of aliens really are listening to Anon Radio? And I have kind of there's this quote from the movie Gladiator, and I'm sure this is not an original quote, but it says that what we do in this life echoes through eternity. And you can kind of look at that scientifically, like, you know, every time you do anything, even every time you have a thought, some little tiny particles are moving, and that's physically detectable. So theoretically, some super advanced technology somewhere could detect those tiny little particle motions and observe it. And if you consider, like, you know, the size of the universe, number of galaxies, I think it's possible that there's some super advanced civilization that can observe us. Like, you know, they say that, like, because the universe is expanding, so like the observable universe is, I think, 93 million light years across or something like that. And like, yeah, there's a finite speed of light that kind of hampers what we can observe and travel to. But the thing that does move, that quote unquote does move faster than light, is the expansion of space itself. So I was thinking, if you could somehow do that on a minute scale, like kind of nudge space, and then you could pick up those nudges at, you know, huge distances away, and it would be instantaneous. So I don't know, maybe there's a way to do that, to kind of move space itself. It's like the whole folding space trope from science fiction. Like in Dune, we have just folded space from Ix. Many machines on Ix, better than those on Riches. Yes, yes, says the Emperor. That's this from the David Lynch Dune. I just have all that. The David Lynch Dune, it sucks in many ways. It's laughable in many ways, but it has some great dialogue. I don't know. I think the act. I don't know. Maybe that's just the Lynch. The dialogue and the acting and the characters are compelling. And it just seems, in a lot of ways, the new Dune just seems kind of lifeless compared to it. But I think overall, I don't know, it's a tough race. Both of them have their flaws. Both of them have their strengths. You really need both. Man. I should really turn up my guitar. I'm going to be playing it. It's too loud, though, for me. I'm going to turn down the guitar a little bit. See, that sounds better to me, but I've been burned in the past by the archives having a too soft guitar, and it's like, this sounds stupid. This sounds like I don't know what I'm doing. That sounds like I'm dying as a producer. Oh, 3 minutes left of showtime. I got to use it well. Okay. So, talk about alien civilizations detecting individual human thoughts via folding space. Kyiv arms plant hit by Russia may have made missiles that sank the Moskva. You know, you hear about that? This Russian ship got sunk. And it's called the Moskva. You know, that makes me think of is the Scorpions. Follow the Moskva down to Gorky Park. Anyway. Moscow strikes back. Like the Empire. The Empire strikes back after Russian ship sinks. I don't know how this whole Russia-Ukraine thing is going to... It might turn out to be like an Afghanistan thing. Just go on for fucking 10 years or something like that. And then just we have this in the back of our news like, oh, the war in Ukraine. Yeah, that'll be the defining event for many, many, many years to come. And then who knows how it'll turn out in the end. Maybe some kind of Finland type situation. Dunno, dude. Oscar De La Hoya wants to squash beef with Dana White. That's very exciting news. So we have the war in Ukraine. And then we have Oscar De La Hoya wanting to squash his beef with Dana White. So those two news stories of equal importance next to each other. So we consider one and we consider the next. But I liked that whole Will Smith slap thing. I think that people really loved that article, and it was really, and there was a little bit of buzz about how stupid it was. But I think for the most part, people were quite hungry for that sort of human interest, celebrity gossip, frivolous, you know, grab the popcorn type article in the face of all the Ukraine devastation. So, I don't know, it's nice to have a, and I think I'm pretty sure that the journalistic corporations have that in mind. They know that people need a mix of real news, and then Oscar De La Hoya wants to squash beef with Dana White. In case you don't know who these people are, Oscar De La Hoya is a boxer turned fight promoter. And Dana White is a fight promoter. So, and they have rivaling interests. Supposedly, Oscar De La Hoya went into MMA. And then kind of as a retaliation, Dana White went into boxing. Or maybe it was the other way around. But they're kind of like, you know, business rivals, whatever. But now I guess that Mr. De La Hoya wants to no longer be fighting with Dana White. Yeah, well, you know about my shameful MMA thing. That doesn't suit my character. But maybe it kind of does. I don't know. About to end. I made it. I did it. I did it. Another show. Another success.